Well, thank you so much, and what a joy to be with you on this holiday weekend and to be able to look at what I believe is one of the most powerful, most important passages of Scripture that you will need in your life. How many of you want to become like Jesus? Okay. How many of you want to become as wise as Jesus? Okay. Now, wisdom is an interesting thing. Okay. How do we get wisdom? By hearing others. Okay, so that would be by learning, intellectual learning. But how many of you know some really intelligent people that know a lot of stuff that aren't very wise? Okay. So, yes, learning is important. But there's something more to wisdom, isn't there? What else? Experience. Who said that? Experience. How many of you know some really, really, really experienced people that have a lot of years of experience on them, but they're not too wise? Okay. So experience and learning are parts of it, aren't they? But we still have something greater that brings wisdom. What brings wisdom?
Proverbs.
So we see that there's a book in the Bible that teaches us about wisdom. And that book called Proverbs, how many of you have ever seen the book of Proverbs? Was written to who? Who was it written for? It was written for the sons and the daughters of the leaders of that day. And the leaders of that day wanted their children to operate with what? Wisdom. And so we see that the book of Proverbs was put into the Bible so that we could see that God wants us to operate, because Proverbs 3 says that wisdom became what? Flesh. The Word became flesh. And who's that? So wisdom is? Wow. So when we say we want to become like, we're really saying we want to operate with? So now we're back where we were. How do we get it? Just because you read about it doesn't mean that you have it. Just because you experience life doesn't mean you have it. Just because you want it doesn't mean you have it. I was deeply moved by the death of Patch Adams, of Robin Williams. How could someone who made so many people laugh become overcome and operate with what would be a lack of wisdom? Because when we can no longer stand under the difficulties of life, and some believe that when he heard that he had the beginning stages of Parkinson's disease, that it pushed him over the edge in his battle with depression and other things in life. How many of you battle some things in life? So is wisdom the ability to take what comes to us in life and operate at a different level? How many of you would like to be able to operate no matter what comes in your life? And how many of you would like to be operating like Jesus no matter what comes at your life? Okay? Because how many of you know stuff happens? And we could probably rephrase that and you'd understand it better. right? It does. George, it happens in our marriage. Have you ever done something that you just wanted to go out and shoot yourself because you hurt your wife? How many of you have done that? And how many of you have ever had something happen to you that wasn't right? How many of you have ever had people that said they loved you hurt you? Okay? So there are things that come against us in our life. And what I want you to look at today is I want you to look at this Hebrews chapter 12 passage, because what you're going to see here is the ability to operate in wisdom, not turn to alcohol, not turn to drugs, not turn to some escape type behavior, not turn to even the ending of your life, but to operate in wisdom no matter what happens. So let's read this together. It says, therefore, from verse 1 there, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance and the race marked out for us. Now, isn't that something? We can throw off whatever hinders. How many want to throw off whatever hinders you? Okay? Operating in wisdom. All right? So the things that entangle us, we can run even though we could be easily entangled. That's wisdom. So let us fix our eyes on, there it is. Who we got to fix our eyes on? On wisdom, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the, wow. In other words, he was able to endure the cross. How many of you know none of us are going to have to face the cross? But he was able to endure the cross. Wow, he really did have ultimate wisdom. He was able to endure the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not what? Now, isn't that interesting? This is absolutely powerful, because what he's saying here is that we can also endure whatever men throw at us, whatever the doctor says, whatever people that hurt us, whatever difficulty comes, we also can endure such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose. What did Robin Williams do? He grew weary and he lost heart. Okay? How many of you don't want to end up there? How many of you want to operate in wisdom? Okay? So who do we look to? Jesus. Oh. Okay. So let's look at this. So in your struggle against sin, you have not yet. How many of you struggle against any sin? How many got some things in your life you would sure like to quit? I have a guest who is staying at my house. And the first thing he said to me is, now you'll notice I'm going to go in and out of the house a little bit here because I'm still battling this filthy habit of cigarettes. And I just said, no problem. Go out back. It's a beautiful place. Okay? I could have said to him, boy, you need to quit that. But what did he already tell me? He knew. He said, I'm still battling this filthy. Now, let me tell you something about his life. Do you know what he does? He attends AA meetings all over the world. What does that tell you about him? He's already overcome an addiction to alcohol. But he's still battling something else. Well, man, cigarettes sure sound easier than drink. How many are still battling some things that you think, man, I should be over this? Okay? So what are we learning? How do we do this with wisdom? My son, do not make light of the Lord's... Do not make light of the Lord's what? I only had one of you the first time. Now I've got three of you at least saying it. Do not make light of the Lord's. And do not lose heart when he. Now it's one thing to lose heart when men do you wrong. But now he's telling you not to lose heart when God what? I don't want that. And I don't like the word discipline. Okay? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now the word son there is son and daughter. Don't get worried. Endure hardship as. Say that verse with me. Go ahead. Endure hardship as. Well, that's interesting. He's telling us that hardship in our life may be discipline from the. I'm losing some of you. Hardship in our life may be discipline from the Lord. Oh. I thought we were just supposed to be blessed. I'm blessed. Look at this. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, when you are illegitimate children, then you are what? Illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and lives? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God, say that with me, but God. Say it again. Say it again. Disciplines us for our good that we may share in his. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later on, however, it produces a harvest of what? And for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your, so that the lame may not be, but be. In other words, what he's saying is, some of us are lame. Now, young people use that word, right? That is lame. How many of you have heard a young person use that word? That is really lame. It's a biblical word. They're using scripture. Okay? So you're going to walk out of here, and the next time you hear a young person say, that's lame, say, I know what that means. Amen. Okay? I want you to say this word with me. Hyperstand. Say that. Hyperstand. Say it again. Hyperstand. Okay? So when you don't understand, you're supposed to hyperstand. The Greek translation, literal translation for the word endure, is hyperstand. Say it again.
Hyperstand.
Say it again.
Hyperstand.
So when whatever comes to crush you, hurt you, bruise you, rob you of your peace, frustrate you, you're supposed to what? Hyperstand. Say that again.
Hyperstand.
Say it again. So when your boss frustrates you, what are you to do? And if you will hyperstand, you will show God's wisdom. So when your wife or your husband frustrates you, does that ever happen? When your kids frustrate you, when your parents frustrate you, what do you got to do? Say it again. When your job frustrates you, what are you to do? When the world frustrates you, what are you to do? When the news frustrates you, what are you to do? Hyperstand. when you don't understand, the child of God what? Hyperstands. Now watch this, because I'm going to give this to you very, very quickly, and then we're going to respond to God today. We're going to respond to God. Here's what it says, verse 7. Endure hardship, hyperstand, hyperstand. So in other words, the key text here, the key to this text is endure hardship, endure your troubles, endure your afflictions, endure your trials as discipline, which means unless you see the wisdom of God in your personal hardships, you will not be a person of endurance. Now, this is really important. This is really important. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us three models of God's wisdom when it comes to our hardships and our difficulties so we can hyperstand. Number one, watch this. God has the wisdom of a trainer. God has the wisdom of a father. And God has the wisdom of a physician. Those three things. And in human life, a trainer, a father, and a physician all have one thing in common. What does a trainer, a father, and a physician all have in common? They all intentionally hurt you. Don't tell me it didn't hurt when you were a kid and your parents said to you, time for a timeout, you're going to your room. If it didn't hurt you, then how come? Come on, how many of you tell your kids, no, timeout, no, you're going to your room? How many of you do that? And what do? Do they go, oh, thanks, Mom. Wow, do I appreciate that. Wow, that's wonderful. How many of you do that? No, your kids don't do that. No, it wasn't my fault. It's his fault. Come on, how many of you hear that? That's exactly what we do with God. When you don't understand God. Okay, instead of understanding what God is doing, because what does he tell us? Look at the metaphor. Just like your earthly fathers did what? Discipline you, so I am going to what? It's no different than you telling your kid to go to their room than God saying, okay, what's going on here is for your benefit. No! So if God is like a father, he disciplines us, and that means we are like children, which means we don't understand. Tell me your kids understand when you discipline them. No, they don't. They don't understand. I don't get this. How come Mom's doing? Mom's mean. Come on, how many of you have ever heard your kids say that? I don't love you anymore. How many of you heard that one? Oh, listen. I've had parents come to me. He said he didn't love me. I said, well, that must mean you're really being a good parent. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? This passage is so important in your growth. You need this. He is like a father. And that means his wisdom. All right? So watch this. He has the wisdom here of a father. So how does this work? It's the word, look at this, it's the word here, trained. The word trained is the word gymnazo, which we get the word. What English word do we get from the word gymnazo? Gymnasium. What do you do in a gymnasium? What does the trainer do? What does the trainer do in the gymnasium? Hurts you. But what if he hurts you too much? So if he makes you run too far or if he makes you lift too much weight, what happens? You get hurt, right? The wisdom of a good trainer is going to make you do things that make your muscles uncomfortable. See, we don't want that in God. We want God to make us comfortable. We have a very, very American mentality of Scripture. But not a biblical mentality. He has the wisdom of a trainer. He's going to stretch you till your muscles hurt, till your faith is stretched, till your patience grows. That's wisdom. How many of you want wisdom? I lost a few of you. See, you all wanted wisdom earlier, but now that you know you have to have him work with you as a trainer, come on, come on, come on, come on, Tamara, stand up. How far do you run? How far? How far? Tell me how far. What's a normal run for you? How far? 23 miles, right? Now, what if you took me tomorrow and said, we're going to run 23 miles? They'd be calling 911. See, a good trainer is not going to take you 23 miles. He's not going to put you through the training of an Olympian until you're ready for it. But how many of you want to get to the place with God that you're an Olympian? What? Then that means you've got to go through deeper training. How many of you want the wisdom of an Olympian spiritually? Then you've got to go through deeper training. But he knows how much to give you and when to give it to you. So all the training, listen, all the training is in an orderly regime. Say that with me. All my training is in a what? So in other words, all my hardships are in an orderly regime. This is really important. All my hardships are in a what?
Orderly regime.
Say it again. In a what?
Orderly regime.
Okay. So every hardship that comes to your life is in the order that God wants it to come to your life because God has the wisdom of a trainer. Say that with me. All the hardships of my life are in an orderly what? Because God has the wisdom of a? Nothing comes to your life that's out of order. You say, but you don't know what's going on in my life. No, you're right. He does. But remember, we are like children, so we don't understand his discipline. Because we can't see what he sees for our life. Now, if you want to walk out of here today and you want me to just say, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, and just walk out of here knowing that you're walking in the blessed life and you're just going to be blessed. Just be blessed. The next time hardship comes, you may grow weary. And you will not endure. And you may give up on God. And you may even give up on life, like Robin Williams did. But if you walk out of here today and you say, my God is so wise that he's going to put me through his training to make me able to stand whatever, because he wants me to be like him, then you'll be able to endure. And the rest of the world will see you and they will say, I want your God. I want Jesus. Because you can withstand anything. And the reason you can withstand anything is because you understand nothing. Say this with me. Nothing comes to my life that's not in the order of God's regime as my trainer. Now, number two, you better understand this, okay? You better understand this. The reason that we go through this with our bodies is because our bodies are going to decay if you don't exercise them. The natural comfort of our bodies is not really good. The more we sit and the more we watch TV and the more we just read and the more we sit at a desk, the more our bodies do what? Decay. They deteriorate. So does your faith. You want to go to a church that only tells you, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. God bless you, but your faith is going to decay and deteriorate. And one of these days, you're going to be crushed. That is not Grace Hill. But I can guarantee you can find a church like that. But they're not, they don't read Hebrews 12. Grace Hill is a church that believes God is a trainer. He said, not only bring people to salvation, but bring them to discipleship. Okay? So if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he's going to put you through his training program. Okay? Which means everything comes to your life has a purpose. Say that with me.
Everything that comes to my life has a purpose.
Is in order.
Is in order.
And God set the regime.
God set the regime.
Okay? Number two is this. He has the wisdom of a father. Say, he's my father. Say it again. Now, this is really, really important, because if you only understand he's a trainer, then you're in religion. But if you understand he's your father, you're in Christianity. There's a difference between religion and Christianity. Religion will tell you you've got to endure hardship because that's what life brings you. And life will be better because you'll become more. You'll become more. And if all I tell you is that he's a trainer, then you're a religion. But he's a father. He's a father. He's not only a... What does that mean? He's a father. What does that mean? This is so important. It means that as a father, the wisdom of a father, there is a loving purpose to your suffering. Say loving.
Loving.
Say it again.
Loving.
See, he. It's not just, okay, yes, I see that suffering is inevitable, but it's more than that. It's not just religious. It's not just religious. It's not just that I'm going to learn to hyperstand. It's that the word discipline. Say the word discipline.
Discipline.
It's the Greek word that we get the word, are you ready? Pediatrics. Paideo. Say it with me.
Paideo.
Say it again.
Paideo.
We get the word pediatrics. What does pediatrics mean? Huh? To raise a child. Pediatrics is to raise a child. That's what, if you are, you go to a pediatric doctor, it's, why do you go to a pediatric doctor? Not because you're turning 80, because you had a baby. You got to raise that kid. Why do you have to raise that kid? Can I tell you something? Biologists will tell you this. Listen, this is so important, and then we're going to close. Are you ready? The human race is the only race, is the only animal. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. Of all the animals out there, biologists will tell you, they are born and immediately stand and can walk. But not humans. Humans are the most dependent born of all of the earth. There is nothing more dependent than a little human baby. They can't feed themselves. They can't walk. You take a water buffalo in the wild of Africa, and immediately they've got to be able to walk and travel with the herd, or they're going to get eaten by lions. Not little babies. Little babies have to be carried by mommies. Little babies have to be nursed. Little babies have to be... And what do you have to do with little babies? Are they wise? No, they'll put their hand right on the stove. They'll walk right out in a street. What do you have to do with little children? You have to discipline them. You have to say, no, 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 no. How many of you know that's the first word they learn, right? The first word they start speaking is, we think it's mama, dad. No, no, it's no, no, no. Because what do we tell them? No, no, why? Because they have to, they're kids. They're little babies. No, 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 no. They're not very wise, right? So every once in a while, you've got to go, dude, guess what? You are in trouble. Mom, I want to go to that. I want to go to that. No, you're not going to that because you did this. You can't go to, no! Come on, how many of you raised kids? He's a father. Now, here's the difference between God and the earthly fathers. Earthly fathers sometimes do it for themselves. They discipline because they are benefiting. And sometimes they discipline too harshly. How many know sometimes we discipline too harshly? But God never does. Say that again. Do you know why he never does? Why does he never discipline too harshly? Why doesn't he send it because of what we did wrong? Because he already disciplined our elder brother, his other son, our older son, our older brother, Jesus. He already sent him to the cross, so he's not going to get double payment for our sin. Did you hear me? God doesn't discipline for sin. Did you hear what I just said? He already sent his other son, our brother, Jesus. He already sent him to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he paid the price for our sin. So there's no more reason for discipline. So when he disciplines, it's to make us like Jesus, because Jesus already paid the price for our sin. So if you give your life to Jesus, and that's the difference between Christianity and religion, is religion thinks that things happen to people because of their sin. But that's not true in Christianity. In Christianity, if you give your life to Jesus, he will never bring anything against you because of your sin. He's already been paid for that. He's already been paid for that. So even though he may be putting some weights in our life, and even though it's not because of our sin, it's not because of our sin. Are you listening? It's not because of our sin, because Jesus already paid the price for our sin. And here's the last one. Look at this. Number three. Look at this, because this is so important. He has the wisdom of a physician. He has the wisdom of a physician, of a doctor. Now, this is really, 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 really important. And I want you to get this, and then we're going to wrap this up. Here it is. He comes like a physician. How many of you have ever had surgery on a leg, tendon, or a knee? How many of you have ever had knee surgery? Did you? Okay, how many of you? And they put you in, and then they come, and they take whatever it is that they cast or whatever, they take it off, and then what do they make you do? Walk. And the moment you swing that thing out of the bed and put it on the floor, how does it feel? It hurts. You quack. Where did you get your degree? It hurts. Why do they make you walk? Because otherwise it will atrophy and you will never walk. And can I tell you what happens to elderly people? Many times they break their hip, have surgery on their hip, and because they won't walk, they end up in a wheelchair the rest of their life. Is that what you want spiritually? Is that what you want spiritually? Then you've got to get out and you've got to walk even when it hurts. And you can't say, but you don't know what I'm going through, so I can act bad, and I can say bad things, and I can just be a bad-mooded person. And now you don't know, because I'm going through things, God's putting me through things because he wants me to grow, so I can just act bad. No, you can't. You got to get up out of the bed, you got to put your feet on the ground, and you got to hyperstand, or you're going to turn lame. Did you read it? Now you understand, when the kids say that's lame, it means you're not willing to get up and walk when it hurts. When people do bad things, when bad things happen around you, when things happen that don't make sense, when people die that aren't supposed to die, you got to get up and walk on it. And if you will do that, you will grow in wisdom. You will grow in wisdom.